It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They're going to win the next two games, so better take this one while you got it. For the Detroit Tigers, who have the 1-0 series lead on the Astros. We await the ALDS matchup. Oh, yeah. Deshaun talked today. The Browns getting ready for the Commanders game. We got plenty to get to on today's show, including what is next for the Cleveland Browns. But what is next for us? On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Ross Tucker joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ross, I bid you adieu.
That was strong right there, Nick. That was like a 9 on scale 1 to 10. That was an impressive performance right there.
So do you think that was stronger than you not saying my name on the broadcast on Sunday?
When would I have said it? Nick Wilson's going to have a lot to say on Monday after this game.
Wasn't that easy? Did you hear how easy that was? You had 3 hours. I got 5 hours. I got all the plugs for Ross Tucker I can possibly get in anytime you want. I just asked for one on a Browns-Raiders game. Would have meant the world to me, but that's, I guess maybe you don't care that much. It's fine.
I couldn't get it in, man. It was too good of a game. If it was, or at least too competitive of a game, if it was a blowout, I might have been able to do it.
I think, you know, when the Browns were up 10-0, maybe a little, hey, Nick Dubs would have been beautiful for Monday. I don't know, maybe.
See, that's called having somebody's back. Band of Brothers, you should watch it sometime there, Ross Tucker.
You know what I should have said, actually, is I have no idea what Nick Wilson is going to ask me on Wednesday, because all he ever usually asks me about is Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson is actually playing well. Deshaun Watson's not the reason why they might lose this game. Deshaun Watson's actually one of the best things that the team has going today.
So I'm glad you said that, because your broadcasting partner, Jay Feely, we actually played this on Monday's show, where he said that the Browns let Deshaun down on Sunday. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, the Amari Cooper drop, the Harris hold, subpar performance by the defense. Yeah, I mean, that Deshaun Watson, and I know a lot of people don't like him, but I also know a lot of people defend him because he's your guy there. I thought he had a winning performance on Sunday. And interestingly, I see people all posting, well, his stats. Well, if you just post his stats, I don't think you watch the game, because he played very well. I mean, that, I don't know if that makes, does that make you feel better or worse? Does it make you feel better that Deshaun played well and, like, okay, maybe he can become what we were hoping? Or does it make you feel worse that he played well and you still lost?
I think when you look at it, for me, it makes me feel better knowing that he's getting better week in and week out. You know, so, you know, the unfortunate part, though, as the starting quarterback, all eyes are on you. Ross, the question that I have is, when you look at this team and late in the game, there was an offensive hold. Not going to name any names, but you mentioned that you thought it might have been a hold, maybe it wasn't a hold, but that, for me, was the difference in the game late. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, it was Nick Harris. It's been all over social media, because it's really interesting. You know, they have the touchdown, and then it gets called back. So I'm like, okay, let's watch it. Let's watch the hold. They called on Nick Harris. And I'm watching it. I'm like, look at his outside hand. This is usually how it happens. Watson's going to step up. But then there was nothing wrong with his outside hand. I was like, what? They called that a hold? What? Thankfully, I said, we got to see the other angle. We got to see the other angle. Then they showed the other angle. But as they were showing the other angle, the Browns ran another play. And so then the third time we showed it with Gene Steratore on, that was the first time you could see that Wilkins was outside the framework of Harris's body and that his left hand, his backside hand, was still tugging the jersey a little bit. I got to be honest with you, I don't love the call, but I can see how it got called because the umpire behind him saw Wilkins going for Deshaun and saw his jersey being stretched. I mean, it clearly didn't seem to affect him that much because he got off of Harris and he rocked Watson as he was throwing the ball.
So as a player, when you're looking at this and you say one play shouldn't make or break the game, but this one play negated an 82-yard touchdown pass, does that change the outcome for the week moving forward, though, as they roll into the Commanders?
Well, so, I mean, you could say a lot of this play was a difference. Like the Amari Cooper bounce off his chest. I mean, this is what happens when you're not playing well and or you're not a good team, is that it seems like people take turns making mistakes. I guess I would argue that Amari Cooper is taking his turn too often, right? Like, that cannot happen. That was a beautiful throw by Watson, right to Amari, right in the middle of the zone. It was perfect. They were going to be in scoring position again. And instead, they give the ball back. You just can't do stuff like that. Or, like, I think it was near the end of the half, maybe, when DeJuan Jones just didn't block the guy off the edge. And Watson might have been able to throw a touchdown. They're just doing the things that bad teams do. Drops and holds and missing the, you know, not blocking the right guy. But I think those things are all whatever. I think the most disappointing aspect of that game, if I am a Browns fan, is that that team without Devontae Adams should not be able to score, you know, however many points on you, and should definitely not be able to run the ball that well. I mean, the Raiders hadn't run the ball. They were averaging 51 yards a game, and they ran it very effectively against the Browns. That would be the thing that would be so frustrating, or one of many things, actually, that would be so frustrating if I were a Browns fan.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So you and I have talked a lot about this O-line. Even before we saw him play, you know, you and I are in a lot of agreement about missing Bill Callahan, going all the way back to when he left in January. After watching them play in that game, is their play just about injuries, as some fans would like to say it is?
No, it's not. And I'm glad you pointed that out. Certainly injuries are part of it. But at times, it's the guys that aren't injured. You know, like some of the issues they had against the Giants, it was Wills, Betonio, and Posick, you know, on the left side. Or it was Teller and DeJuan Jones on the right side. I mean, those are their guys. And I know Conklin's in the mix or whatever, but some people thought Conklin would just be the swing tackle this year anyway. So you can't say that. And in particular, the Giants game, before they all started falling and getting hurt, was a good example of that. But now, like, certainly DeJuan Jones, you know, he had the mental error. Then you had Zinter and Harris weren't able to pass off a stunt. That was actually a really nice stunt I mean, they could have done a better job against it, but that was actually a pretty good stunt. I give them credit. Interestingly, I saw on social media that people were saying that the Browns had these same type of issues with twists and stunts last year or the last couple years. It wasn't as noticeable to me. Now, listen, I wasn't doing one of their games on TV and watching it as closely, but I don't remember the last couple years the Browns giving up this many sacks and giving up this many pressures on stunts and blitzes and twists and stuff like that. Not to this extent.
Ross, we look at this team. They're 1-3 right now. They're going up against one of the hottest teams and one of the hottest quarterbacks as well. Do you think one win can propel this team into the possible playoffs like they were last year?
I do think in the NFL there's ebbs and flows, and I do think, you know, you get a win, you gain some confidence that you can go on a run from there. I also think the way the NFL is now, that September, they're kind of feeling out a little bit exactly what they have. And that should be – that's the way Belichick always was. Go back and look at how many times – the Patriots were 2-2 with Brady and Belichick. I mean, a lot of times in September, they were kind of figuring things out, you know, figuring out how they wanted to use certain guys, and they would lose games that you're like, how are they losing that game? And the next thing you know, they only lose two games the rest of the year. And I would think that that would actually be even more pronounced now that the guys don't play in preseason at all, and they don't practice nearly as much as they used to.
Ross Tucker on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I came to this conclusion throughout the last couple days because this is not just one thing. It's blocking. It's the run game. It's injuries. It might be a little bit of coaching. It might be a little bit of leadership. The defense isn't quite where we hoped the defense would be. The drops. Like, it feels like... If anyone's going to step up and save them, it's going to be Deshaun. And it almost feels like Deshaun has to save them and get the ship righted, which I would not have said should be the case 4 weeks ago. Is that a fair statement to say after four games and a 1-3 start?
I would say based on the last game, he feels right now like the best hope to save them and help them win a game. Although the flip side would be, you know, they've had opportunities these last couple games to win the game again at the end. And ultimately, he hasn't been able to get the job done. Now, you know, obviously he was under pressure again on that fourth down. As you probably heard, I'm okay with the decision to try to get the hard count and the free 5 yard, you know, the free first down. But I don't know, like, if you don't use a timeout there, they would have gotten the ball back. Now, it probably would have been past midfield, and it would have been like 30 seconds left, and, you know, they needed a touchdown. So I get that. But that's another great example right there. How does your guy Hopkins miss an extra point? I mean, how does that happen? If he doesn't miss the extra point, they're at a minimum going to overtime. I happen to have several friends that are Browns fans, and so they were texting me during the game or after the game, and it's like, that has got to be painful. Like, just painful. Like what's the old, like, et tu, Brute? Like, and you, Brute? Like, when Hopkins missed an extra point and Cooper's dropping passes, I don't know what you want. Like, what's Stefanski supposed to do there? What are you even thinking if you're Andrew Berry or Haslam? It's like, these are, like, we have a good kicker, Hopkins. We have a good receiver, Amari Cooper. They're just blowing it. And you don't have enough elsewhere to overcome that. I don't know many teams that do, though. But, again, I still go back to the defense a little bit. They should have been able to put those guys more on lockdown. And, you know, the reality is the defense is not what they were last year. And you kind of got to figure out why that is.
So I'm so glad you said that, because whether it was the 10-yard cushion for non-Davante Adams receivers, the tackling, the overall mojo of it all, it's not been the same. And the response that I got from people defending the defense is they only gave up 20 points. They gave up 20 points to a team whose best player by a wide margin on offense wasn't on the field. What do you see when you watch this defense that could be the culprit?
Well, I think for one, I thought they gave too much of a cushion. I thought they were a little soft on, you know, what do you think Gardner Minshew is going to do with that O-line going against Myles Garrett and those guys? You knew it was going to be a quick passing game. So I thought they were a little too soft in their coverage. That surprised me. They clearly were scared to death of Trey Tucker's speed, which, you know, us Tuckers can fly, so I get it, right? Like, we're extremely fast. But then the run, like, the Raiders were the worst running team in the NFL by far. And for them to run it that effectively, was losing Jordan Hicks, did that make that much of a difference? I think it definitely made some difference. I think there was a pretty big drop-off when Hicks went out. But I think they would like to think that they would be able to do better against the run than they did in that game. And that's the thing, too, when you're not a good team. It's like, not only do guys take turns, but then different sides of the ball, different position groups take turns in different games, being the ones that don't play well enough to win the game.
All right, Ross. So, I'm over the disappointment. You and I go way back. You're a good man. I like you. I know you don't do the follow back on Twitter. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Can I get a follow back on TikTok?
Yes.
Look at that.
Well, how are you doing on TikTok?
Poorly. Yeah, I'm 39 and starting a new social media. I've got like 8 videos and like 100 followers. So I will take a pity follow. I'll take a pity repost. Like, I'll take a pity, you should follow this guy post. Honestly, on TikTok at this point, my ego needs anything you got.
Nick, if you text me so I don't forget, I will follow you on TikTok, just like all of your terrific listeners should follow me at Ross Tucker NFL, because I got another doubleheader this weekend. I'm setting records. Navy at Air Force, noon, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. I'm calling a game at 10 a.m., which I didn't even know was a thing, for CBS on Saturday. Then Monday night, in the booth with the legend Kevin Harlan for Westwood One, Saints Chiefs. More importantly, when I go on the road like this, I will be eating delicious food and drinking tasty beers. So you're going to want to follow me at Ross Tucker NFL. If you follow at Nick Wilson Says, which is the lamest handle in the history of handles,
it's not as original as Ross Tucker NFL. All right, so 30 seconds. Jason just got a smoker, and he's starting to use it here. You're a foodie. I'm a foodie. What's the next thing he should try to smoke?
Have you done like a brisket?
No, I'm not even close to that yet. I did hamburgers, and then last night I did steaks.
Oh, okay. So we're working our way up a little bit there. I don't know.
This kind of analysis.
What kind of steaks did you do?
We did T-bone steaks.
How'd it go?
It went great. I burnt them so good that they tasted amazing.
Do you have a meat thermometer?
Yes. The temperature was well done.
Show.
And it was, but it was tasty. I will say the smoke flavor came out awesome.
Why would you do well done?
Pardon me?
Why would you cook them to well done?
Oh, no, that was not on purpose by any means. That was, I'm normally...
I thought you said you had a meat thermometer.
I did, but I left and then I came back and that's what it ended up being.
Yeah, so the leaving part is probably the part we need to improve upon.
Yes, right?
Ross?
I think we have room for improvement.
I like that. That's called upside in the NFL. Ross, great stuff, buddy.
Thanks, Ross.
You are killing it, by the way, doing 17 different things. Keep killing it, buddy. We appreciate you.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Later, dude.
Later, dude. Ross Tucker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. In fact, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. That was a 10. That was a 10 right there. We'll react to what he had to say next on 92.3 The Fan. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, one of our favorite guests, Wednesdays, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. And really good stuff with him. And, I, you know, that was in response to, is Deshaun Watson going to have to be the one that pulls the nose up on the plane? Because yesterday I just kind of, it was like, you know what, I've been thinking this for a minute. I'm now seeing Deshaun play better every week. Can't say that about the O-line. Can't say that about the running backs. The defense is giving up way too many points to inferior quarterbacks. Like, it's in a way, and I hate to put this on him because he's already trying to deal with his own stuff. It's got to be Deshaun to be the guy, and he's 100% right. It makes it even more challenging when your wide receivers lead the league in drops.
Well, and that's frustrating, right? So you're doing your part now. You're finally getting into your flow of the season. And, you know, unfortunately, Amari Cooper, who is a solid vet. I mean, he, year in and year out, is a solid wide receiver, is dropping the ball more this year than he normally does. And it's not so much that he's dropping the ball. It's in crucial situations.
Yeah. Well, and... there have been some body language stuff. There's been some eye rolls. And, like, I am empathetic because you and I have talked a lot about Deshaun's shoulder. And he's not throwing the ball consistently. But as his teammate, I don't know how you don't – I'm not saying give him a pass for that, but be understanding of it. Because, one, that one that he put right on the numbers for Amari was on the numbers. The Cedric Tillman thing was right on the numbers. Like, that's on the player not making the play. So while Deshaun's shoulder is clearly taking a minute to get the consistency back of passing, and that's not an excuse, that's a reality. You've mentioned that about the importance of that shoulder injury and reattaching everything and how long it takes to get that feel back. If that's Amari's problem, because maybe he's feeling the pressure of a contract year, I'm sorry, I think this is a case where you actually have to kind of, I don't want to say be gentler to your quarterback. I'm not Dr. Phil here, but where you need to kind of take a little off your own fastball and realize, I think that dude is doing the best he possibly can trying to regain that touch.
Well, in talking with Russ, I mean, or Ross, I'm sorry.
He's Russ to me until Russ, right? he follows me back on TikTok.
Well, even mentioning you on games. So, but Ross mentioned to us, you know, it wasn't Deshaun Watson. He did play well. And the unfortunate part was, we couldn't run the ball, and at the same time, you have drops, and you have the holding penalties. So looking at it right now and listening to Deshaun Watson earlier today in his presser, this is a man on a mission now. And I like it as a player because he's going to stand out. He's used to this day in and day out, and he wants the most of it. He wants these wins probably more than anybody else does in the locker room.
Well, and there were three things to me that piqued my interest from the Raiders game, because the thing I've tried to do this year, because I think a lot of people will, I think you can pick up very quickly, a fair amount of people came into this season with their minds made up on Deshaun, and I realized that leaves something to be desired. And I'm talking about, I'm not even talking about, like, and we got a great set of beat reporters here. I think you can hear some of that in some of their work. And the opinion-based folks here, I think through 2 years, I think a lot of people made up their mind on Deshaun. And I just didn't think that we have that. I don't think we have that opportunity as a show or as a station, because quite frankly, he's going to start. So until he's no longer under contract or until he's replaced, I don't have a choice but to give the guy a chance. But the three things I really liked in Vegas. One, I loved getting on DeJuan Jones. And it's not just about the screaming at him. It's about seeing him on the sidelines going back and letting him know you're my guy, but I'm going to tell you if I don't like it. So that was one thing. The second thing was the Amari Cooper throw. Yeah, clean, clear, and just beautiful play, and it's BS it got called back. The third one, I like the fact the guy took an ass beating and got up every time. I'll say this. I've been looking for the hook. Like, how can Deshaun endear himself to Clevelanders? Because he hasn't done it in the first 2+ years here. Taking an ass beating and getting back up, I think that's part of what made people love Baker in this town. Those three things gave me, I don't want to say hope, but gave me a little window into, okay, all right, I've been Switzerland on Deshaun here, trying to evaluate him game to game. Those are three signs that I think maybe he is pulling the nose up on this thing.
Well, when you look at a quarterback that has a large contract, right? I mean, he's got everything guaranteed for him. You could go out and just kind of do your thing. That's not Deshaun Watson. He has this large contract, and he's going out and trying to get better every day. Not every week, every day. And the longer that he gets away from his surgery, that date, he's going to get stronger. I'm just telling you from experience, the more that you can actually have reps, and that's all he's looking for, the better off he's going to be, and probably the better off the Browns are going to be with that quarterback position. They have somebody right now locked in. They need everybody else to step up their game to be able to complement Deshaun Watson.
Well, and you called it in our pre-show, you kind of talked about the Amari touchdown. And I don't know if you use this jargon, but it's stuck in my brain. It's like the catapult moment. You need the moment on the field where you just, oh, that's what he does. That's why he's here. That's what the money's for. And when you see those things, it's a shame it got called back because I think a lot of people give more credence to it. When you see those moments, that's when you can start to maybe buy into the hope aspect, which is like the fulcrum of every bit of fandom in football.
Well, and that's why it goes back to, you know, this weekend coming up is, I'm not going to say it's a must win, but you get that one win, it does change the outlook of this team. And going back to the Raiders game, yes, that one play could catapult, like you said, and that is what I said, you know, in our pre-meeting, is this whole locker room is looking for a sense of urgency. And if you have that one play not called back, we're talking a different story right now. We're talking about a 2-2 team instead of a 1-3 team. And that makes a large difference in that locker room because now there's no more finger pointing. It's, hey, you made the plays. You did what you were supposed to do. Let's have a happiness. Let's have a brotherly love. Let's move on to the next weekend.
And the more plays you make, the more power you have to call people out and for them to back you up. 216-474-0092. So I'm going to throw this question out to you guys and to Jason at the same time, but you guys can also hit us up at Nick Wilson Says. Do you think Deshaun is on the cusp of a breakout? Because the people that actually paid attention to the game nationally, like Ross, were super impressed with what they saw out of Deshaun on Sunday. The people that didn't, it's apparent. They're the ones saying nationally, I'm not saying locally, like nationally, those are the people saying bench Deshaun. And I'm still confounded by it. Because you yourself, I mean, when we started talking 2 weeks ago, getting ready for your first shows last week, the thing you said to me is, man, Deshaun's got to be better. And the first thing you said to me this week was, man, it wasn't on Deshaun. So it does feel like we're close. I don't know what's going to be this weekend, but like, The problem with Deshaun is it's been two steps forward, one step back. But if the Raiders game is real, and it wasn't just playing a team without Max Crosby, I think we might be on the cusp of that step forward with Deshaun.
Well, if you look at this game coming up this weekend, if the running game can get their stuff going, if the offensive line can open up those holes for the running game, it allows Deshaun to be Deshaun Watson. I think that's what, as fans, we're looking for, is for him to have...
Can I jam you up on that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually think it's the other way around. I think for this thing, I think for the ground game with these guys, unless Nick Chubb is suddenly like Willy Wonka, he falls and gets up and he's ready to go. That's the Gene Wilder version for all of us old folks. Unless Nick Chubb comes back, I think the way you get a solid running game is if Deshaun keeps making those big plays over the top. because I think defenses will stop being able to just blitz you. It'll all get out. I think you're going to be able to push the ball down the field, and I think that's the only way you're open up this running game and taking the pressure off the running backs and the O-line.
So if we change the offense a little bit, and if we did a couple draws, if the offensive line was able to block and you had some draws come into that with the running game, I think that opens up the passing game even more and kind of go from there. And so that's kind of why I'm at that take right now on it, is to say if you have any type of running game, you know, there hasn't been one yet. You have to allow Deshaun Watson to step up his game at the same time. He did look better last weekend, and hopefully that trend continues.
216-474-0092. Anik Wilson says, Jason, I don't think I remember your Twitter. Do you have a Twitter?
I do have a Twitter.
It's not great because I'm pretty sure I've seen it. What's your Twitter handle?
I honestly don't even remember what it is. Like, that's how good it is. I think, honestly, I want to say, I believe it's JStanyMLB61. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's what it is because I do not play on it.
Somebody's about to get a lot of follows.
Oh, boy, because I don't play on it.
Some other Jason Stanford's about to get a lot of follows right now. Do you think Deshaun is on the cusp of a breakout? We're going to take a look at what that looks like next on 92.3 The Fan. Well, we got the playoffs going on. I think I'm gonna end up pressing on this one real quick before we get back to the Deshaun thing. My basic thing is the Tigers better take this game, because if this thing goes three, they got no chance.
And I would agree right there. And they're struggling right now defensively. Tie ball game 1-1, and defense wins baseball games.
So we'll keep you guys up to the latest with that. As again, this is a huge spot for them. See if the Tigers can get that dub. I'm emotionally dead inside, but I'm loving every second of this. As we had the conversation about Deshaun, and do you guys think Deshaun is on the cusp of a breakout game? I think that might be the thing that elevates them. And I think, like, we talk about bad mojo. We talk about bad vibes in the clubhouse. When your quarterback bails you out, the pressure that it takes off, knowing that that's a possibility, because there really hasn't been a game that you can look back and go, you know, like the Tennessee and Arizona games were his best games last year. And the Baltimore second half, great in the second half. Those were also electric level defensive performances on all, you know, the Tennessee and Arizona games weren't close. The Baltimore game was, your defense was spotless in the second half. I think that informs, like, whether it's this Washington game, when Deshaun single-handedly goes out there and wins a game, I think it'll be one of the most important things for that locker room, and the psyche of fans who might be on the fence about him, might be leaning negative about him, or just haven't made up their mind on him.
Well, I think it would be great if you look at the defensive side first, and if they play strong and hard on Sunday, and it gives Deshaun that chance to just guide this team to a victory. They come back home, then they go back on the road. You look at this group and it says, okay, Deshaun Watson, you're our man again. Continue to lead.
That guy in Cleveland saying, I think we're getting closer to seeing a breakout game type scenario for Deshaun. If he breaks 200 yards passing in this game with a pair of TDs, then I think we could be there. At some point it's bound to happen, but I hope it happens sooner rather than later. Man, I kind of, okay, if it's just 200 yards, he was there. If it's 200 yards and a pair of TDs, that's what he did against the Raiders. I have said, though, and I will continue to say, I think for people either already leaning negative with Deshaun or who have already decided that they're out on him, I do think it's more than one game. Like, I think he's, and maybe the Raiders is going to be part of this. Maybe we'll look at that as like the first domino to fall towards Deshaun getting back to being Deshaun. But I do think, like, for me, if he goes out there and let's say we get to 230 plus, multiple touchdowns, you stack that with the Commanders game, I'm going to start to, oh, and you get the win because the win is a big part of this. All of a sudden, you go into that Eagles game, you're like, okay, what more can I get here? Because they've got a quarterback that's struggling. Now you got a game where maybe you feel like it's more winnable. But I think that's, to me, you get to 230, multiple touchdowns, and now I think you're talking about that. That's you're probably carrying the offense, or maybe at least opening up some different opportunities with a run game, given that kind of performance from Deshaun.
So when I'm looking at this from a stat perspective, you know, take away everything else, I feel the 250 mark, that for me is a benchmark, you know, and you get the couple touchdowns. So we would have saw that this past Sunday. You know, you give the 82-yard touchdown and even the drop pass that Amari had earlier. That puts him at like 260, 270, somewhere in there with two touchdowns. And for me, when you have those type of numbers, it is a confidence factor. And I go back right now listening to it, just me being a player, as a former baseball player, and that competitive edge and that nature of wanting to do great for yourself. You know, and then on top of that, being selfish. And I'm not saying Deshaun Watson is selfish by any means, but what he is he's being selfish for this team because he wants to win. He doesn't care about the stats. He can throw the stats away. He says, I want dubs. That's what's going to make this team better.
Well, it's funny you say that. We're actually going to play Deshaun here. And he was asked about how he's feeling and then the importance of stats. These are the first and third question. We kind of combined it into one answer here. Here's Deshaun from today.
Every week is a step forward. So the more I'm out there, the better I'm going to get, and the better I'll be and the more confident I'll be. I don't care about the stats. I just want to win. So none of that stuff matters.
He said that previously, and fans, I don't want to say fans, some media members were like, well, you better care about the stats, 230 million. No, I think you're also starting to hear a better perspective from Deshaun from week to week. That indicates confidence. And to me, that indicates confidence and settling in a way that, again, I do think portrays, foreshadows, what do you want to say, that we could be on the cusp of something if he can just stay on the damn field.
Well, and I think looking at this from an outside perspective, I didn't grow up in Cleveland, but I know how Cleveland fans are, especially when you look at the Browns fans. They are huge. They love their team. They will do anything for this team, win or lose. But they also look at it that they're tired of losing. So from a player perspective, Deshaun Watson is more comfortable. He is talking to the media constantly. He knows that it's an uphill battle, but he is willing to take that challenge on. That's what I like about NFL players and MLB players and NBA players, is they have the pride and the right to go out there and compete at a high level.
Even if it's not on every play, Jason, the eye test is telling me he's not far off. I think what's so important, because the eye test is subjective. So, and I think we've seen this 100 times. Two people who have very different feelings about the most important part of this, which is quarterback play, watch the same game and have different takes on it. So you almost need something incontrovertible. And so, while personally for me, as long as he's continues to make plays, whether they're called back for holding or drops or whatever, as long as he's making plays and I can see that he's doing that, I'm going to have a growing confidence in him. I don't think that's enough, though. And I think we're to the point of the season where I probably previously was going to give him 8 weeks, right? If the defense was elite, they're not. They are giving up a lot of plays. They're talking a lot. They think they're better than they are right now, and it's apparent. And by the way, it's not because Deshaun's not keeping the offense on the field. That doesn't impact tackling. It doesn't. It doesn't impact things like focus. It doesn't impact things on like how far do you line up off the line of scrimmage. So as much as I look at this and go, well, the eye test is telling me we're not that far off, I think he needs that game that is going to set people down and go, oh, okay, that was three big plays. And I do think, like, if you notice the through line through the first couple games, the plays that people are sticking on, it's the fourth and one play. The Jordan Akins, is he a decoy? Is he not a play? You know, it is the third down sack against Jacksonville, which gave Jacksonville an opportunity. It's him throwing the ball when he should have taken a sack. Like, it's these kind of things that it's one play at the end of every game that people are holding on to. To me, that informs, it's not just give me those stats, whether it's 230 or 250 and two tuts or more. It's also, are you making plays late in game? They don't have a closer. Their defense, the longer they're out there, you can see teams chip away at them. That was a problem. Putting teams away was even a problem last year. If Deshaun can make those plays, especially late in the second half, the game-winning plays, I think those are the things. Game-winning plays, the eye test, plus yardage, plus TDs, that's when I think all of a sudden minds start to change here about, for anybody out there that might be expecting Deshaun to fail still.
Well, and those game-changing plays, could take place in the second quarter. Could take place in the third quarter. You know, for us, looking at this from a fan perspective, is when is it going to happen? If the defense checks up a little bit more, right, and they do a little bump at the line, that might change the whole perspective and the outcome of what the game looks like. If they're constantly 10 yards deep and allowing that cushion to happen and getting these 5 to 7 yard little dump passes and then allowing the wide receivers to use their speed to their advantage, that's not good for the defense, and it doesn't help the offense either.
216-474-0092. What does a Deshaun Watson breakout game look like for you guys? I think we're past the eye test, which is good. Like, if we were talking about the eye test and for that Chargers game, the last game before the bye week, you're probably up you-know-what creek. But I think, you know, it's always, I think, and here's the other thing. It's also to the level that this has gotten. Like, it's toxic for a lot of Browns fans. It's toxic to talk about this with some Browns fans, which I'm not used to. Like, we all love this team so much. Even if we disagree, it's been very respectful. It has gotten to a level of disrespect for, like, between people that I think you need something incontrovertible, something that everyone can look at and go, this is what it is. And that does start with yardage, as you and I've taught, 230 yards plus, multiple touchdowns. And I think being able to say Deshaun won you that game, I think goes a long way. What does a Deshaun breakout game look like? We got the 5 at 5 next, including more from Deshaun Watson on 92.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.